They moved me back here, so. We're going to show a video first. It's about 3.5 minutes. Stephen Corbett, I talked about, that came, shot this. He's got one of my guys, Collins Wandy, is going to narrate it. Collins lived here in the States for 13 years and then has come back to Kenya. He was a basketball player to help us when we had some issues and troubles. And he said, "Do you want me to come back and help?" And I said, "Man, that would be wonderful." Anyway, so can we show the video now? Can we do the lights, turn them down?
As the national anthem states, plenty be found within our borders. At the same time, there are places in Kenya in which there is great poverty and suffering. One such place is located in the capital city of Nairobi, in a slum called Mathare. Here, in 1 square kilometer of land, over 600,000 live in makeshift housing, where there is little or no access of electricity or running water, and where food and basic resources are scarce. Approximately half of the residents here are children. In the heart of Mathare is a Christ-centered outreach called Change a Life Ministry. The mission of Change a Life is to help change one life at a time, focusing on children who are among the poorest of poor. Change a Life currently serves these precious young people in the following 5 areas. Our Destitute Family Program provides necessity for some of the most vulnerable families in Mathare. Many of them live by single mothers. We assist these families by providing basic needs such as healthcare, food, household items, and clothing. The Change a Life Saturday Program brings in over 1,000 children from the community every Saturday, where they play games, sing songs, and hear Bible lessons. Each child also receives a sandwich, bananas, and juice. The Saturday program is our first chance to meet many children, to plant roots of God's love, and to assess those who are most at risk and in need of our help. When children turn 13, they join our teens program. These teens and young adults meet each Saturday afternoon for Bible study and discipleship, and Sunday for worship and fellowship, all in a language and style that are relevant to their stage of life. The Change of Life Learning Center is a school with over 175 students, from age 4 to teenage students. Each student in our learning center has been identified by our staff as the poorest of the poor. Children who are enrolled in our school receive education in math, reading, science, social studies, English, Swahili, and Bible, all in a loving and nurturing environment, which we pray will lead to generational change in their lives and the lives of their current and future families. Our sponsorship programs allow for people from the United States to sponsor children in our program on a one-on-one basis. Dollars given by our generous supporters pay primarily for school fees, meals, and supplies for children who attend the Change Your Life Learning Center, as well as older students from our teens program who attend boarding school and colleges throughout Kenya. Sponsors are able to correspond back and forth with their sponsored children, forming meaningful relationships that benefit both the children and the American supporters. In the midst of the harsh realities of the slums, Change Your Life is making a difference. Motivated by God's love for all and following the examples of Christ, we will continue to reach and change one life at a time in Mathare. We invite you to join us.
That is our website there. It's calkenya.org. Very simple. If you would like to go on the website, look and see, you'll see those different parts. You can watch that video again from our Facebook page. I'm not a big social media person, but we have one, and you can go there and watch that video again. But our ministry is designed to help the poorest of poor. We decided to try to, as I told you many years ago, to start trying to change one life at a time, and that one. We tell our children even what we want you to do is get a great education, love the Lord, change your life, give your life to the Lord. And then when God gets you out of this slum and you can get your family out, your mom or your guardian, whomever it is, then you come and give back. And that's what we have. Collins Wandy is one of those that was sponsored many years ago. The young man doing the narration got him here to the States, and now he's giving back. Isadora, our accountant and bookkeeper, is one of those that was sponsored many years back. She was a poor little orphan girl in Eastleigh, and now she's giving back and she's got her degree in accounting. And so, you know, we're trying to set the stage so that we give back and they understand what God has done for them. I'm going to turn sideways here so I can see. Go ahead, next slide. What's really important? I can't see that very well, but James chapter 1, verse 27, I'm sure you know this. Pure and undefiled religion is to help the widows and orphans in their distress, care for them, and keep yourself unspotted by the world. The second scripture there, Matthew 22:37-38, and I think you know this one too, is what's really important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Second, likened to it, love your neighbors yourself. This is what we have to understand. We are called, you know, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. When Jesus was asked what's really important, you know, and told the story of the, you know, the Good Samaritan, that's where it came from. The guy said, well, who's my neighbor? Thinking, you know, that would get him out, trying to make an excuse. And then Jesus told the story. And you have to understand about the Good Samaritan. To Kenyans, that would be like a Somalian, okay? They don't like the Somalians. Eastleigh, where I used to work, is full of Somalian people. Somalians have come over from another country, invaded Kenya. They think of them as dirty. Many of them are Muslims, and so they just don't like them. And so if you wanted to relate, in fact, Charles and Darlene Coast and Darlene had a story. Instead of calling it the Good Samaritan, she called it the Good Somalian. And at the end of it, I thought this is the way it really was. She asked the guy, she showed it to a Kenyan, and he went through it. And so at the end, she said, so who was the neighbor? And he said, well, the Somalian. But that wouldn't happen in real life, he says. So, you know, that's the way the Jews felt about the Samaritans. And so who's my neighbor? The person who's in need, the person who needs it. As I told you, I didn't plan on doing this, but it's a great thing that God has called us to do. The next slide. Our motto, changing wealth one life at a time. I love this. I don't know if you can see it that well, but it's the children are holding up one finger. One thing, you know, change one life at a time. Go ahead, next slide. Purpose to empower children through the Word of God, with love, education, and games. And then notice, give back to their families and to the community. We don't want them just to take in, but they've got to learn to give back. You're not just absorbing. But if you just take up resources and you don't give back, you've missed the whole purpose. Our goal is to help the poorest of poor. And I have to remind my staff of this all the time. Because they say, well, you know, that mom's an alcoholic and, you know, this and that. I go, you know, that's who we're helping, the poorest of poor. And then we're going to have those kind of problems. My dad was an alcoholic and we weren't the poorest of poor. We weren't rich by any means, but you know, people with problems is what that's what we're there for, to help the children that don't have a dad, you know, that's got a father absent. Maybe they had a dad, obviously, but he's not present in their life. Single moms, next one. And Jesus says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Philippians 4:6. Paul's speaking here about what God wants us to do is petition, make your petitions. This is one of our little children. I was telling some of you about our little children. When they pray, they just plop down on their knees and they're so sincere. I was telling the young lady just now, she said, how do I know what God's will is? You got to spend time in prayer. When I was early in life, I wasn't that much of a prayerful person. Oh, I prayed before meals and, you know, but 2 or 3 minute prayer. Somebody talked about a 2 hour, and I said, 2 hours? How do you do that? But I now find myself praying longer and harder. True story. I'm in Kenya, and my staff, we only have the school in Mathare, and they want us to do a boarding school. And I said, Coach, we got to get these kids out of this slum. You know, this is everything bad, you know, theft and murder. And we watched a guy get murdered right in front of our building. Prostitution and just anything bad you want to name. Drugs, alcohol, you want to name it, it's there in the slums. And they said, we've got to get them out of this environment. And I was the holdup. And I kept saying, do y'all realize how much a boarding school is going to cost? And, you know, that, how much that's going to take and how much money and care. And so I kept being negative. And they kept bringing it up. And so one morning I'm down on my knees praying. My prayers have gotten longer. And I'm praying, pouring out my spirit to God. I really am. I'm just sharing this with you. And I'm troubled in my heart. And so I pray, God, is this really what you want us to do? Do you want us to do the boarding school? Now, I didn't hear a voice from heaven, but God's spirit just came over me. And this just was in my mind. It was like, Tony, don't you realize I've got all the money in the world? And I went, wow. And so I go back and I tell the staff, okay, I'm all in. We started searching for a boarding school to buy. We got kissed a few toes before we got the handsome prince, you know. It didn't work out, and we kept trying to make it work, and it didn't. We understood why later. Then finally we get the boarding school that's right. We make a decision to buy it. The guy's in financial trouble. He was a Kenyan, but he had studied in America, and he was trying to do a school for profit. And hard to do schools for profit in Kenya, especially if you're helping any of the poor people because they can't pay. But anyway, within a month, we had the whole school paid for. I couldn't believe it. And a friend said, don't you realize that God's got all the money in the world? And that just, wow. That just hit me because that's the words that came to me. And so now we have a boarding school out. If you get our newsletter, you should see this week's, because it's got an aerial view. You were talking about that, some of you that saw it. You saw the aerial view of the school from a drone that we had someone to do. And it's just amazing what God has done out there for our little kids. Next slide. The prayer of a child. This is what I'm telling you about our little kids. Can y'all see that okay? Would be better to turn the lights off? What do you think? Y'all tell me. Yes? Okay. Prayer of a child. Our little kids, when they pray, you know, they don't have inhibitions. They don't know any better. So they just plop down on their knees and just pray so sincerely. And I'm just amazed, the prayer. And then Jesus, after he was talking about children, says this. He says, beware that you don't look down on one of these little ones. I tell you that in heaven, their angels are always in the presence of my heavenly Father. Matthew 18:10. And you go, what? So they're angels. This is where we get the idea of children having guardian angels. I don't know if you ever knew that. But the angels of children are before the presence of God. And he said, don't look down on these. Next slide. What do they pray for? I love standing outside when they get their meals. They pray for their meals. They say, oh, Lord, thank you for the food. And, you know, and it's just so precious. And y'all get to see that. They all say a prayer before they eat. Another thing, next slide, is that we, during the holidays and people that are destitute, we buy food. We help them with their destitute, their needs. We feed them. We help them. Because, you know, that old saying, you know, nobody wants to know how much you know until they know how much you care. And so many of our people we reach out to. Next slide. Safety. One of the issues we have is trying to keep our children safe. And I shared with Terry's class a few weeks back, one of our little precious little girls that's like my daughter, age 4, was molested and raped, age 4. Another one of our little fifth graders was molested and raped and had a baby from it. And so it's not a safe environment. It's horrible. And so now when our kids are out at the boarding school, they can be safe. Next slide. They have a staff. This is one of the pictures of the boarding school that cares for them and loves them. And we have a great staff. And they work with them and care for them. Next slide. This is our school down in Mathura. These are the children. They feel so safe and so good there. They come there and it's like, you know, this is home for them because you've seen the shacks they live in. Next slide. This is a photo of the girls' dorms. Got to tell you this one story. When we first moved them out there, we had, and this is what it looked like. You know, they had nice new blankets and everything. And most of our kids have never had a bed of their own. They sleep with a brother or sister on the floor or on a mat, you know, most of them on a mat. And it's in this 9-foot by 9-foot with mom or their, if they have a mom and dad, you know, they're all in there and they'll have a sheet separating mom and dad's bed from where they sleep on the floor. One night I visited a home, it was dark. They invited me to sit down on, they had a little love seat there and I sat down. I right quick realized I was sitting on kids. They were sleeping there, you know, and so they don't have their own bed. So they go out to the boarding school. And they're all excited, and so I go into the girls' dorm to check on them. I feel this little tug on my pants leg, and it's one of our girls, Michelle. She goes, "Coach, this is unbelievable. I have my own bed, my own covers, and everything. This is really only just mine?" And I said, "Yes, honey, it's yours." And unbelievable. So thank you for that. We have used money from some of you to purchase these beds and the mattresses and the covers and all that. Next slide. Love. One of the things that's so precious, our kids, they just love their sponsors. They love praying for them. They pray for them by name. We have the child's name and the sponsor's name on their desk and so that they can pray for them. Next slide. Our teachers prepare and work. We follow the Kenyan curriculum, but Janice went over there a couple years back before she was not able to travel. And she, when she was in the States, her last few years, she was a deputy superintendent at two different schools. But before that, she worked in inner city Dallas with the poorest of poor kids and lower socioeconomic kids here in the States. And because of that, she developed a procedure helping teachers and schools. She also worked for the state going into schools that were about to be taken over by the state and helped them to get out of, you know, about to be taken over. And she, because of that, she was able to help our teachers and she really understands how it is to help people that she wouldn't allow our teachers to call kids slow learners. She said, no, they're just not yet. They're not yet there, but they will get there. And so I think that I love that. And so we call our kids that are not yet, but they're going to get there, with the ones that are not yet have what they need to have. Next slide. This is some old fat guy out there trying to instruct basketball. I'm having my kids wanting me to come show them basketball. My knees are too bad. Oh, they're not that bad. But when I'm on my feet in a long time, this is before we got our court finished. But they're out there. They love, you know, being out in sports just like any kids do. Next slide. This is one of our little girls. This is one of the little girls I was telling you about. She, they know their sponsors. She had come into the office one day. I'm in Isidore's office, and Issy has the sponsors, a collage of sponsorships, the people's sponsors' photos up on the wall there behind her desk. And Emma comes in, and she says, "I see my sponsor." And I thought, "Nah, there's no way." And Issy didn't think so either. And she said, "Really? Show us." And she went over and pointed right to her sponsor. And she knew her sponsor, Gene Schramm of Seneff, Missouri. So the kids, they pray for them. They know them. And this is a special connection. Some of you that have children, you've got letters, right? You got letters? Some of you that have kids, right? And so isn't that special to get a letter from that child? And somebody asked me, is it okay if I write them back? Yes, definitely. Send it to my home address. Let me take it over there. You talk about snail mail. We sent a letter from here. It took 2 months to get there. So don't try to send it regular mail. It's a nightmare. And so just send it to my home address there in Abilene, and I'll take it over with me when I go. Next slide. Thanksgiving. This is one of my little girls. I talk about those are my daughters, Zephon. Zephon's a precious little thing. She's sharp and beautiful. She's just moved to the third grade now. When she was a 5-year-old, Isidore had taken Zelphon kind of under her wing. Her mom, HIV positive. She's got all kinds of issues. When we first met Zelphon, her mom was selling marijuana to make ends meet down in the slum of the worst of worst called Jangwani. But we got Zelphon in school. One morning, I'm sitting in the office, the door's open. I see Zelphon come in early morning at 7 o'clock or so, and she's all dirty and looking disheveled and everything, and she just didn't look right. And so I told Issy, you got to go check on your girl. She doesn't look right. And then I hear her tell Issy in Swahili, she says, Mama Ngonjwa, Mama's sick. She's at home and there's no food. And she was all dirty, so Issy took her and gave her a bath and cleaned her up there and then took her home. And she calls me and says, Coach, she's crying. She says, you can't believe how bad it is. It was rainy season. The water was leaking into their little 9-foot by 9-foot house. She said, they've got a mattress pulled over to the corner where they're trying to stay dry. She said, there's mice running around. The mom has got tuberculosis, and she's ready to die. She said, she asked me to take Zelphon into my house and keep her because she's dying. And so I sent Collins down there with some people. We moved her to a different place, cleaned it up, bought them a bed, got them up off the floor. The teens went down there and helped, and OT went down, got the mom to go to clinics and do clinicals, and today she comes to church. She's changed her life. The little girl is unbelievable. She is one of the sharpest girls. She went from being the bottom of her class when she was 5 and 6. Now, as a third grader, she's at the top 5. It's just amazing what love can do that you show to a child and help them and give them some basics, but give them love. And she comes to school so pretty. I got to tell you the truth. We'd gone out to eat one Sunday and we took Zelphon with us. And so she felt really special. So she's praying here. She really does feel special. She's praying and thanking God because she's at a really nice restaurant eating a place called Java that she's never been to before. And so she felt very special. You know, I know you shouldn't have favorites, but Jesus did, right? Peter, James, and John. She's one of my favorites. And she knows it, and so do the other kids, unfortunately. Next slide. This is the slum. This is where the kids come from. This is what it looks like. You go down there and you just go like, wow. You saw some of the photos, in the video, the open sewer right in front of their houses. And, you know, you go down there and the stench, you know, this doesn't even do it justice because the smells, all your senses are so overloaded. The sense of smell, the sense of sight, and the things you hear. But among that, we're making a difference. You're making a difference. Next slide. One of the things we do is Change of Life Learning Center. We have 2 campuses now, the Change of Life Learning Center in Mathari, where this is. We have 4-year-olds up to third grade. The third graders were supposed to go out to boarding school past January. They were all upset because they didn't get to go because of COVID. You know, we were out of school for 9.5 months. There in Kenya. And so the school year, we just, end of July, finished the 2020 school year and started at the last of July, 1st of August, the 2021. We're now in 2021 school year. And so the kids that were in third grade, finally, the end of July, get to go to boarding school. Those of you get the newsletter, Collins wrote about that. So they get to go out there. And so they go out there for the first time, and we've got the basketball court finished, and it's got a nice Laco surface on it. It's painted, you know, and looks so good. And so they're going around showing them the campus, and they're all excited. And they get to the basketball court. And they said, can we pull off our shoes and run around? So they pulled off their shoes and ran around the court. And one little boy says, I'm never going back to Mathari. You know, it's just, and Issy and I drove out there one of the Sundays, and we're leaving Mathari. And we come into Kasiri, and it's out in the countryside. And she said, you just can breathe out here. It's fresh air. And it is. You know, it's just it's completely different what that does. Now, with that said, you know, the kids still miss, even though it's a mess down in Mathari, they still miss their mom or their family, you know, because Some of you probably dealt with that. You can even take a child from an abusive home. They don't know any better. They still want to go back home, right? Because that's all they have. That's still their mom. So holidays, they're still happy to go back and see their family. Though Collins was talking about the last time that they came back for a holiday. It's like a 10-day break. One of the boys, they offloaded the bus there in Mathari, and he said, "I'm already ready to go back." You know, it's sad. But out there, you know, we take care of them. Next slide. This is our one shot of our boarding school. There's some better ones on the website, and especially if you get the newsletter, see some of the ones where we've built. We had a family, the building to the right, that's what we call three stories. They call two. They go ground one and two, but it's one, two, three. Okay, that's a staff housing. A teacher from Seneth, Missouri, had left some money, and she wanted to help. And so her family, with that money, have built that. She was a teacher herself, and she wanted to do something for the teachers, so she built them housing. They have really nice little apartments there that they can stay in. They don't have to go stay out. And it's cool. It's one of those things that really changes people's life. To the left is a two-story building that is our science wing. It's two large rooms. It's really nice. A family from Abilene visited the boarding school, and it was a metal building there. It wasn't even completely finished. And they said, "Can we give so that you can do a proper building here?" And I said, "Sure, I'll make that happen. You just tell me when and where." And so they built that for us. And it's just, we've been so blessed to have so much like that. Had another family too. The little boy loves, he's eat up with basketball. And he asked his dad, "Can we build him a basketball court?" And dad has means, and dad's very humble. I wanted to name the basketball court after him, and he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want the kid's name on there. I said, "Can I name that after your son?" He goes, "No, he doesn't need that recognition." But they've built us a basketball court and put, you've got to see, I don't have a slide of it today, but you know, the court, if you look at the aerial shots, if those of you got the, you get somebody to send that to you. It's a beautiful, how much it enhances the school now, the basketball court. Next shot. This is our cafeteria. Recently, we've got that remodeled. We had someone to come over, and they wanted us to make it. As you can see here, it's made out of wood, and it's only a half wall up, and that was all open, which is nice when the weather's nice. It's not so nice when it gets cold and rainy, you know, the wind blowing in, the rain blowing in. And so we had somebody, we've expanded it, make it bigger for our class coming out, and also made that stones and all, so it looks really good. The kids out at boarding school get three good meals a day. And I say meals, you know, for breakfast they get tea in the morning, then in the mid-morning they get porridge. That's what they call breakfast. Sundays, for our kids out there, they get tea and bread. They think that's they call that rich man's breakfast, imagine. They have tea and light bread, okay? And they call it rich man. They're so happy, and they get a big stack of bread, you know? Like, call it rich man's breakfast. And I'm going, oh my goodness, if they only knew what we eat. And so they get three meals a day. We get, serve them meat one day, which is, most boarding schools don't do that. On Tuesdays, usually, they get ugali, which is cornmeal. It's kind of like our cornbread, but they make it into like a paste almost, greens and meat, beef. And so that's a big treat. It's one of my favorite meals they do. Next slide. Prayer of a child. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Told this story earlier to a young lady. We had been trying to get our school registered with the government for 5 years, since 2016. We had everything done. Then Collins went down there, and they go, "Oh, the file's gone missing," you know, which is a common thing with them. The file's gone missing. So we had to start all over, and we do that. Send another guy down there, can't file the file again. And someone was working against us, didn't want us to get it done for whatever reason. Okay. Anyway, 5 years go by. We were at one point, I went down there, and of course, you know, typical African country, when big Mzungu, that squat man, comes in, they're all, oh, can I help you? They're just surprised. And I said, you know, told them what, well, y'all have everything. I said, okay, if we've got everything, why can't we? Well, we lack one signature. The Minister of Education has got to sign it. Okay, I said, can I, you know, smart enough, I said, can I get a letter stating that? So he does. He puts the signature on, said they have everything. So that's what we've been operating on for the last 3 years, is this letter, because they still would not get us a signature. And then lost the file again. Anyway, so fast forward, we decided to try to get registration through Cajado County, where the boarding school is. And so we still hitting the roadblocks, hadn't happened, COVID and all this. And then Isadora says, why don't we have the children? She said, Coach, you know how fervently they pray. She said, let's have the children to pray about this. So we go out there, and the principal, Lillian, has all the kids at the boarding school to start praying for us to get registration. 5 years, we haven't had it. 2 weeks later, we get it. Amazing. 2 weeks. Is that not amazing? Prayer of a child. Janice tells me all the time, would you have the kids pray for my health? She said, I know children's prayers will make a huge difference. Next slide. We are therefore Christ ambassadors. I referred to this, you know, earlier in the lesson today. Is through God we're making his appeal through us. So I implore you on Christ's behalf that you be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul is saying, we are Christ's ambassadors. He uses you and me to do his will. He left it with us to do. He's saying, you know, I got this work that needs to be done, but I need you to do it. Next slide. This is Change of Life Ministry, calkenya.org. This is what our website is. You go to Facebook. It's called Change of Life Ministry. That's where you can see the videos on the Facebook page. I've done a lot of talking. I want to stop for a minute, and I know sometimes you don't get an opportunity to this, but I'd like for you to tell me or ask me any question, any comments, or anything you'd like to say. Questions, first of all.
Are they teaching the kids to write cursive?
Yes. Yes. In fact, one of the older kids wrote a letter, and I forget who the sponsor was back here in the States. She said, you know, my grandkids can't write cursive like that. She said, they don't even teach it here. I didn't know that.
Well, I told you that.
Was you the one telling me that?
I told you that he prints so well in our third grade. Well, Xander's just going in third. His handwriting's atrocious.
Yeah.
They
teach them to print, but they also teach them to write in cursive as they get older. And so, yes, they do. But most of them print because that's what they know up and through the primary education. But good question. But in their education, it's interesting too, in Kenya, they actually have religious education in the curriculum. You believe that? Christian religious education in the school, public school curriculum. And we can't even have a prayer here. I know, isn't that amazing? And so then we, in addition to that, Gary Bortz from California, and I know California, sometimes there's not good stuff from there. But Gary and Jeannie Bortz, there's a church there that's good. Gary came over, he was children's minister there, and he came over and helped us, my staff, do an additional Bible curriculum that we use on the Saturday programs, but also we start the day off with a 30-minute Bible lesson, or singing or praise the kids use, and praying for their sponsors. Then they have Christian religious education in the curriculum. But good questions. So other question? Yes.
One similar. Do they learn in Swahili or in English?
Good question. Actually, all of their education from four-year-olds, they use English and Swahili because most of them know Swahili. But by the time they're in five-year-olds, that most of they can use Swahili some, but most of it's in English. But all the rest of it, six-year-old, kindergarten, all the way up to air, all their lessons are in English except Swahili. So, you know, all of our children, like right now, when you guys go, they can all talk to you. The little ones will struggle the most, the babies, because they haven't been taught yet. But the eighth graders can all speak. You know, the only reason, like in youth service or church service, sometimes they'll use an interpreter, but for the old people that didn't go to school, that don't know English, are the little bitty kids. But like our eighth graders, seventh graders, sixth graders, fifth graders, fourth graders, third, they all can talk to you in English because that's their whole education has been in English. So that's unusual. Kenya is very unusual in that, and it's very good because I don't know how much you travel, but, you know, I know we've seen a lot of negative stuff about America, but America's still the best country out there. I'm sorry, it is. When you travel and you understand, that's all Dill on television. One of the girls, I don't know if y'all happen to see that, they were interviewing her during the Olympics. Well, would you fly the American flag? Oh, no, you know, and all this. And I said, well, what country would you like to go to? And this is a Georgetown University student. What country would you rather go to? And she said, Europe. And the interviewer guy said, you do realize Europe's not a country, don't you? And she went, oh. So, you know, I mean, our people out there, you know, our kids use English over there. And English is a pretty much a worldwide thing across the world. Is a language you can communicate in. And so it's a great tool for our kids. But good question. You had a question? Not so much gangs. We don't have the gang problem. Oh, there's some there, but not near what we have here in the States, and not near as violent. Most of the problems in the slums is petty theft. Those of you get the newsletter, Isidore, who rides public transport, she was running late, got on a public vehicle that she had never been on before. She normally has a certain route, and you know, number 44 or 45 that you go and you take down, drop off by our school and all that, you know. So she got in this different one. They end up stealing her laptop with it in her lap. You know, they started banging on the door, distracted her. You know, we're professionals. And the guy got it, her laptop, a very nice laptop, and stole it out of her backpack with her holding the backpack. She got out. Then their excuse was, they got it. Well, we can't drop you where we're going to. You got to get out here. She said the Matatu barely even stopped, and they got her out, boom, she's gone, and she realized her backpack is light. She checks it, and her laptop's gone, you know. And then she went and reported to police, and they said, yeah, we've had a problem with that because there's two universities up above and beyond where she is that use those routes, and so they evidently were doing this as a racket, stealing laptops from students. And that's a big problem. Down in the slums, there is a problem you know, with theft, robbing people and stuff, but it's not so much like here. And there are guns available, but you know, it's, you know, if you want, I'm not proposing one or the other, though I have a specific ideal, but you know, that guns are illegal to own in Kenya, but you can get one if you want it. I could have bought one initially anytime I wanted one. So the people truly that have guns are the thieves and the police, and that's it. And you know, it's not working, you know. We still have violent crimes there. It's you know, it's
the main struggle, social struggle that the kids have is really poverty.
Yes, that's it. The big social struggle is poverty. There is no government welfare. There's no social programs from the government. They don't care about the poor. If you find somebody that cares about the poor, he's probably not a politician, you know. And so, sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? I mean, really cares about people. And so, most organizations are like us that are helping are non-politically involved. The government does nothing. If you don't work or have a way to earn money, you don't eat. You know, there's no welfare, there's no social programs. But good point. No. If you have anything like that, it's usually from a church. Biggest impact is that they shut school down for 9.5 months, and that was awful. Like for our kids, you know, they're saying, oh, we've got kids in the slums, they're not social distancing, they're not wearing masks. None of our kids that we know of were infected. Some say it's because they've had to build up so much strong immunities because of all the nonsense they have to face all the time. I don't know. But the worst part was they were out of school. There was no meals for them. Mom and dad trying, or whomever, their guardian is trying to feed them. Even our kids today, now that, you know, we are affected by this, but they come to school. They won't have a mask on. They'll come to school and they'll put on their mask. We have to furnish masks. Then we have to take their temperature and record it every day. But, you know, they'll leave school and take off their mask, go home, play with their friends and out and around the slums, you know. And I'm not saying that to say that masks are a bad thing. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying for our kids, you know, and they also supposedly were getting learning online. 234 kids that we have, counting the two schools, five parents had smartphones, five. And those couldn't afford bundles. So how are the kids going to learn online? They said, well, they can watch TV. Well, you understand the problem. That is just one of the slums. There's another slum, Kibera. There's another slum. There's like four or five slums. Mathare alone has 600,000 people. Half of those are kids, 300,000 kids that don't have access to a way to learn. So what we did with our kids, we brought them up. We finally got permission to do this. We had to do social distancing, wear a mask, sanitize, and all that. We brought them up two times a week and gave them lessons. They brought them back during COVID. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And they could meet one-on-one with their teacher. And, you know, it's just a game you play because they don't really care about the kids. And for their kids that are off in some big house and they have access to computers and stuff, and maybe it worked for them, but, you know, it didn't protect our kids. It made things worse, especially for our kids out at boarding school. One of the worst things that happened to them was being off 9.5 months. But, you know, it's what it is. You know, the government said this is what you do, so that's what we had to do. But great question. But now, you know, we're at least able to go back to school. They're getting meals now. We're having certain protocols we have to meet. But COVID has been there, you know. In fact, if you go on the State Department, they'll tell you probably not to travel to Kenya because it's a red zone or this or that. And it's been, you know, but we've had spikes here in the States too. Abilene, I was reading the other day, there's a spike in COVID. You know, it's not been a good thing for any of us, but we're surviving. Good question. Thank you. Other questions? Somebody else have a question you'd like to ask? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to know where you stay and how good your landlord is.
Good question. I've stayed at different places. I've known a lady there who has a hotel. It's if there's no traffic, which is a big if. Sunday morning is about the only time. It takes me 10 minutes from a hotel. They've got a two-room apartment at this hotel that she rents me, and she does not. The reason I'm staying with her now, I didn't used to. I did, then I left because I couldn't leave my stuff there or I'd have to pay. But now she rents it to me, and I only pay for the month I'm there, but I'm able to leave my clothes and stuff there, which is a big thing. So, but it's a nice hotel. I mean, it's more local. I mean, it's not a five-star or four-star. It's somewhere probably between a 2 and a 3, 2 and a half maybe. But it works for me. It's clean. They change my sheets every day. One of the girls that cleans, and I say girl, she's a lady now with her own family. She used to be in our girls program down in Mathare 4A before, Zipporah. And so I always give her a nice little tip, you know, because she's one of our former girls. But it's more local. But it's clean and nice, and they take care of me, and it's safe. And I stay there when I'm there. And also, I normally put visitors up there. And they take good care of the visitors and charge you for a bed and breakfast per person. It's like $30. So, not bad. If you don't take breakfast, it's $25. Somebody else?
Is the wealth in Kenya in the hands of very few people?
Yes, you know, when you have a population of 4 million, there's probably 400 to 500,000 people that are very, very wealthy. I mean, that live in big estates with tennis courts and swimming pools. And, you know, I'm talking, there's some major, major money. John Guchango, who's on our board, that used to work for me to help start this program, John has gotten his degree. He's got his master's. He's working in banking investment. He makes very good money. He makes money equivalent to an American banker. You know, he's making good money. But that's the exception. Most of the people from the slums, you know, my teachers, and we pay better than most. Public schools pay a little better than us because the government's behind them, okay? But my teachers make in a range of $210 to $230 a month. A month. And that's considered pretty good. $250, $260 for a primary school teacher is considered very good. My principals make $350 a month. Collins, because he was here and because he also got some support from here, he makes $1,000 a month, and everybody thinks he's just overpaid. You know? Issy makes, because she's an accountant with a degree, she makes $550 a month. And I'm sharing with you, just giving you my heart. One lady there in Abilene wanted, because she's a former school teacher, she gave me some money. So come January, when we redo contracts, we can up the pay of our teachers some. And, you know, I know they don't make much. I understand that. It's what we can pay because we pay it from the kids' school fees. You know, the $35 for an elementary kid and the $70 for those out at boarding is what sponsorship is. So, you know, by the time you give them three meals out at boarding school and you pay for the teachers and the staff, there's not any left over. Before we were covering all the meals and the teacher's salaries with the 35 and 70, now we're falling a little short and supplementing that. But that doesn't bother. Uniforms, we have somebody to give the money for that. Uniforms and stuff like that. And the beds and the mattresses and all that, we have people to give for that. And so I don't take any money from any of that. The $35 or $70 all goes to the kids. If, like, for my travel, I have friends that pay for that. I have somebody pays for my stay while I'm there and all. So none of the money, I used to be involved in some of these organizations. I had a principal in our school that always wanted us to give United Way, and then I started looking online how much of that went to administration, almost 50%, you know. And so that's very common in many organizations. One lady out in El Paso got involved with us, former atheist, okay. She got involved with us just to help, and she finally said, all my money's going to go to Change of Life because I know where my money's going. And now she's not so much of an atheist. She went over there, and those little girls came and crawled in her lap, and she saw what her money is doing to help these children. Her attitude has completely changed. She didn't even want to say a prayer with us when she first came over, and at the end of it, she was saying a prayer with us. So the lady that she talked about coming didn't want to bring her. She said, Tony, you know, she's an atheist. And I said, do you know how God changes people? You know, she said, so I should take her? And I said, yes. You know, God used King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, horrible guy, but you just don't know. But good questions. Yes.
That brings another question. As far as their home lives, apart from the school and everything, Christian, or is there another dominant religion?
Christianity is the most common religion. Islam has made a big push in Kenya, still not that big, but because of the big Somalian population keeps coming in. Most of them are Muslims. But Christianity is still the biggest. And of course, of that, you know, you've got Catholicism, you know, you got all different things. Anglican African church or something, but most of them believe in Jesus or believers, you know, and Jesus is the Son of God and so on and so on. So that is the most dominant belief.
And I also know that Pearline Nolan goes to Africa. I'm not exactly sure where she's, Uganda.
Yeah.
And she runs into a lot of, there's a lot of practice of witchcraft and stuff.
Yeah. More of that in Uganda. In Rwanda, up in those areas, we don't have as much of that, but it's still some there, especially in the rural areas. There was a time one of my workers and another worker, the guy cursed him, and he believed that he was going to, because he believed this guy had actually cursed him and it was going to happen, You know, so you still have some of that. There are still some witch doctors around and stuff, but not very prevalent. It's not something we deal with a whole lot. Somebody else had a question? Yes, sir.
You know, my younger brother was a missionary in Tanzania for 30 years or whatever it was.
Did not know that.
Yeah, and he would, there was no churches or anything, so he'd get together a building, and in the building he would place pews and a podium and everything for people to use to pray, to worship in. He said, you leave it for a week and go back and it'd be completely empty.
That I can believe. That I can believe. They were doing some construction. They had wooden stakes. And it's one morning early. I was having to go to the airport at like 4 something in the morning. I noticed a guy going and picking up the wooden stakes, putting them on his back, and he's taking them for firewood, you know. It's something you have to worry about. Petty theft and theft is a big problem in Kenya. And it is. But that sounds very familiar. Probably took those and burned them, used them for firewood. Any other questions or comments? Anyone?
He was talking about different faiths. Terry did say that, so even different men of faith would get together and try to help each other because, you know, sometimes you're out there by yourself.
Yeah. With our organization, we have our own 501c3. We had majority of our people are churches like y'all. The Churches of Christ, but I have, you know, the lady I mentioned to you, former atheist, I think she's probably not that anymore, but I have a lady out of New York, she's a Jew, practicing Jew, and she said, told me up front, you know, Mr. Mullen, I want you to know I'm a Jew, but I like what you're doing, and I want to support this couple that has done so much for me that's part of your organization. They're up in that area in Virginia. They were in, he was a colonel in the military, and she said, I want to sponsor a child for them. And so I said, sure, Ann, that'd be great. She said, but I want you to know I'm a Jew. Okay, I don't mind. You want to sponsor a child, you know, I'll take it from anybody. So she does, and it started out sponsored from them. The little girl wrote her letters and stuff, so now it's her child. And see, it's just amazing. She told me the other day, she said, well, you know, I still practice Christmas, and I, even though I'm a Jew, and I would like to buy the kids a meal for Christmas. And so, you know, you just never know how God works. But you do find that we have a lot of people involved that don't have Church of Christ background, and you know, of all different size, shapes, and forms. And so, like I say, you know, with all the nonsense happening in Portland, Oregon, one of the ladies that's all bought in now is from Portland, Oregon. Anything else? Anybody have a question? How are we doing on time? It's about time, isn't it? 5 minutes? Okay, well, you got 5 more minutes to ask me this question that's been burning in your heart to ask me. Well, thank you. There's many faces I see here that give money to support us, or they sponsor children, but thank you. And God willing, Gail and Debbie are going to be coming over in October, so send them on, pray for them. Right now, the requirements to go, you know, you read the State Department, all kinds of mess, but here's the real requirement. Got to have a negative COVID test, and I've given them where you can get that, this particular one, and you got to register with the Ministry of Health Department of Kenya, and you go in and fill out this form, and so basically you don't have to quarantine. Some countries, like I think Qatar, I fly through there. If I was to go in the country, I'd have to quarantine for 14 days. But here you don't, but you do have to check in for 14 days. You have to give them your number and everything. And so, you know, they send me a text first day, you know, Tony Mullen, this is day one. Do you have a temperature gun? And I say, yes. And so please record your temperature in Celsius. So I'll do and record it, give it to them. And they say, have you developed a cough? No. And I go through a series of questions, and I'm done with day one, you know. And then day two, day three, and day 14, I'm done completely. But I just check in. So that's what y'all have to do, okay. But we're blessed in that we have really not had an issue. I think two of my staff members, and because there, even though the Kenyan government has got bukus of money from the World Health Organization, almost none of it's gone to the people. You still had to pay to go get a COVID test. And so you think the poor people are going to pay 5,000 shillings, $50, when you only make $200? You're going to pay 5,000 to go get a test? And so if they think they have COVID, then they won't say anything to anybody. Two of my staff members developed coughs, lost their sense of taste and smell, and I said, I bet you got COVID. No. They didn't want to be quarantined or been told they had to pay for a test. But I think they did. But no repercussions. None of our children were sick. So we've been blessed. Well, thank you all very much. You've been great. Anybody have one last question? Yes, sir.
So I know there's a lot of moving parts in what you do. If there's one thing that we can pray for, what would that be?
Great question. And I've got a specific answer for you. Here again, you know, I did not want to do a high school. We're at eighth grade now. That's the last year. We just started eighth grade. We're going to have to do a high school, or we're going to have to farm them out. And my principal at the boarding school said, Coach, do you realize what's going to happen to these kids? We've loved on them and taken care of them, and they get to worship with us, and they just are loved on, and they go out someplace they don't care. And I said, okay. So what do you want? She said, we need to do a high school. So right now, we're in negotiating, trying to get land. There's a lady right there next to us. She actually sold the property to the guy who bought it, that we bought it from. But she's asking crazy money. You know, American Pickers, you see that sometimes, you know, when he asks, what's the crazy price? Well, we didn't ask her what's your crazy price, but she gave us one. She wants $80,000 for 1 acre of land that's undeveloped. And it's perfect for what we need. And so I sent John Guchong, my banker, out there, because they're the same tribe, Kikuyu. I said, go negotiate with her. He got her down to $74,000. So pray about that. We do need money for buying land. We need money to build the high school. We're doing a fundraiser that any of you, it's a bit ways, but if you'd like to come to it on the 24th of this month, Mark and Jenna Hanner out at the Hanner's Ranch, it's out in Baird, are doing a fundraiser for that specific purpose. And so it's going to be a nice dinner. You're welcome to come if you'd like to see about coming to that. But one of the things they're doing is inviting people they think could have means or have an interest in making a donation. All right? Yes, sir.
Will that be enough land?
It will be for what our needs are now, yes. Okay. Yeah. My wife wanted us to do a high school and a technical college, you know. She's always thinking ahead of time. And I'm going, honey, she said, but what do they do when they graduate? Some of these are not going to go to college, nor do they need to go to college, but they need to learn a trade. And I said, I know, but anyway.
She's so, big
like I do. Yeah, I know. There's a school down from us, about 300 yards, Lisa Girls School, that has not come back since COVID. But we can't convince them. They've got 3 acres. We can't convince them. And it's not a great school. It's got 10 buildings. We'd probably not be able to use much, but the land would be perfect. But she won't sell it to us. She, oh, no. So pray about that. Pray about the funds, but good question. That's what our big need is now. Okay? All right. Thank you all very much. Let's. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the people here and how much they've meant to me and my family, how much they mean to the work in Kenya, and how you've blessed us so much through this church. I appreciate how you use the people here, how you touch their hearts so they give generously. They help me and my family. They help our children in Kenya, our staff. They fill in wherever's needed. I pray that you would bless this church, bless the family and the loss, and be with that family. That's such a tough thing. I ask that you would just comfort those that need comforting. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our big comforter. I ask that you would bless Eastside and everyone here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.